Blog Talk Radio.
No longer identify as male or female. Lovato says in the video, the label non-binary best represents the fluidity I feel in my gender expression and allows me to feel most authentic and true to the person I know I am. You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
If you're a diabetic, we have great news. You can end the painful finger sticks with a new CGM. Plus, they may be covered by Medicare, Medicaid, or private insurance. If you test and inject daily, you may qualify. Call U.S. Med now to learn more.
800-426-0557. 800-426-0557. 800-426-0557. That's 800-426-0557.
And let's go ahead and take a look now at your alternative talk weather outlook for Wednesday. Well, we'll see partly cloudy skies today with 30% chance of showers. Plus a little bit of wind out of the north to northeast at 10 to 15 miles per hour. High temperatures around 59 and 60. For tonight, a very slight chance of showers hanging around, but mostly cloudy skies. Low temperatures dropping a few degrees, down to about 46. For Thursday, cloudy, gradually becoming sunny later on in the afternoon. High temperatures around 63. Partly cloudy skies for Thursday night. Lows down to about 49. For Friday and running up into the weekend, more sunshine expected at temperatures in the upper 60s.
Time is funny. Sometimes it seems fast and other times slow. When it comes to time slots remaining on Alternative Talk 1150, time is running out. In fact, there are just a few primetime slots available. So if you want to host your own radio program, the time to call 425-653-1150 is right now. Nope, no time for excuses. Dial 425-653-1150 to find out how affordable it can be to host a radio show. Alternative Talk, we have an opportunity waiting just for you.
Thanks for tuning into our brand new show, Holding Ground. You can find us here every Monday morning at 9 a.m. I'm Laura Richer, founder of Anchor Light Therapy Collective. And I'm Michelle Mooney, the co-host of Holding Ground, a therapist at Anchor Light Therapy Collective. Our passion, our one big thing in life, above and beyond love, relationships, trauma, addiction, and healing, our specialty is helping others. Every Monday morning at 9 a.m. Find us online at anchorlighttherapy.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Shelley Place for Today's Tip for Kids from the American Academy of Pediatrics. If you own firearms, it's your responsibility to make sure they're always stored safely. Hiding them in a closet or drawer is not enough. Just know where they are. Research shows the risk of injury and death is lower if guns are stored unloaded and locked up, with the ammunition locked in a separate place. This is important when children are young, as well as when they grow into teenagers. For more, talk with your pediatrician or visit healthychildren.org.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Vasily and Transformation Talk Radio.
Motivation and inspiration are powerful tools that change and influence perspectives, voices, and projects that shape the world. With all the negativity in the world, it can be hard to find those rare and beautiful stories that tell of inspired spiritual activism and individual healing journeys. Walk the path with me, Dr. Trish DeRocher, on the show Heart, Change, Consciousness, where we inspire listeners to take action towards a more just world. We'll hear from authors, change makers, influencers, activists, poets, filmmakers, and cultural workers who practice inspired spiritual activism and transform vulnerabilities into sources of strength. Heart Change Consciousness allows us to understand the world from different perspectives and highlights what is possible when we are fearless and open ourselves to our soul purpose and engage each other across boundaries. So let's self-heal and open the path to self-sovereignty. Heart Change Consciousness begins now.
Hello, I'm Dr. Trish DeRocher and host of Heart Change Consciousness, and thank you so much for being here with us today and listening in. Today I am here with independent vocalist and musician, Sunite Tomlinson, to talk about her work in creating Mountains Way Sanctuary on her family land in Orford, New Hampshire, which is on Abenaki land. Sunite is building this space with the intention of providing it as an offering for BIPOC folks or Black, Indigenous, people of color to come to relax and recover from the daily lived effects of white supremacy in this country. Tonight is simultaneously offering facilitated workshops for white-bodied people to engage in a form of energetic reparations, which we'll talk more about today, by undergoing the emotional labor of unlearning white supremacist principles and logics through sustained reflection and dialogue with both white-bodied and BIPOC facilitators. Proceeds from these workshops for white-bodied participants go directly to provide a form of reciprocity and funding opportunities for respite and nourishment for BIPOC folks at Mountains Way on an as-needed basis, in addition to more organized retreats. So I first met Sunite when I attended a two-day Ally to Accomplice workshop at Mountains Way last fall. And before I went, we had a phone conversation, and I knew just from that conversation that it would be a fit based on the words that Sunite was using and the energy that I could feel was infusing them, especially in her vocalized desire to create a different kind of organizing space. As Sunite told me then, the youth are on the front lines of the movement for racial justice, and they're doing a great job. Tonight's vision is not to replicate this work or offer, you know, a corrective to it, but to offer an additional kind of space rooted in working across racial lines in an intentional, focused way. So tonight's fire, coupled with her introspection and deep connection to spirit, offers a glimpse of what activism can look like in the service of spirit. Her vision holds an energetic blueprint of the type of world that is possible when we each take accountability for ourselves and our histories to co-create the world that we want to be living in and the world we want to pass on to those who come after. So tonight, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Oh, wow. You got me all teary in your introduction. You are so welcome.
So tonight I wanted to just talk a little bit about what I appreciated deeply about the Ally to Accomplice workshop that I attended last year to introduce listeners to some of your work and how you approach it, and also because I know that you're going to be offering more Ally to Accomplice trainings this summer. So instead of being, you know, sometimes we go to workshops and they're very rigid, right? There's like a very tight schedule, like this, then this, then this, and then by the end we'll like solve all the world's problems, right?
Yeah. And
so what I really appreciated was that the pace was very intentional and contemplative and very much focused on an embodied way of unlearning white supremacist logic. So the body was really front and center throughout all aspects. We sat in circle guided by white-bodied facilitators who've been trained in conscious communication methods, witnessed stories and perspectives shared consensually by BIPOC folks, right? And the consensually piece is really important, who agreed to take on this form of emotional labor for the purpose of the workshop. And we also had downtime to kind of walk on the land and incorporate and reflect. We co-created our collective time together. We kind of decided as a group what would be useful. And there was a lot of collaborative thinking about next steps, both individually for us, HS participants, and also as the collective. There was also a big focus on taking responsibility for ourselves in group and learning how to energetically take care of ourselves to be with what arose so that we could remain present for the long haul, right? So sometimes there's there can be a lot of burnout. It's kind of, you know, fierce and fast, and people can get overwhelmed. But we were really encouraged to listen to our bodies. So as someone who has spent some time in social justice realms, the intentional slowing down and the active encouragement of participants to be with what was arising in our own bodies really showed me a path forward for activism done differently that really allows for this deep, sustained, long-term engagement without the burnout
And also an important on learning of white supremacist capital logics that frame the body as a machine, right, as something to just kind of, for utilitarian purposes. And of course, this logic is a primary way that we become disconnected from ourselves and forget that we even have bodies and that our bodies have wisdom in them. It also offers a more conducive space for introverted and energetically sensitive people, right? We're kind of transmuting the energies and the density that's coming up in real time as these conversations are happening. So I just wanted to put that out there because I think that this is really a deep part of the beauty of the containers that you're offering at Mountains Way. And also name that this is really difficult work to do, right? So when we're doing this kind of collaborative, cross-border work, there can be the kind of danger of erring too far on one side and having it turn into this kind of kumbaya, right? Like where the difficult things are being avoided to keep everyone comfortable and kind of feeling safe. And then erring too far on the other side, there can be kind of a reenactment of policing logic that actually enforce a parallel, not the same by any means, but a parallel form of violence, right, to, you know, what it is we want to kind of usher out.
Yeah, exactly.
So I wanted to put that forward and just see your thoughts on that, because I know that's something that you've had to think about in creating these containers.
Well, definitely. I mean, just also in my own survival. So a lot of this has come out of just, pretty much all of it has come out of work I was doing for myself, work that my friends, that my other Black friends and I were doing together in the last 10 years, really. It's so important at this point not to shy away from difficult places and difficult conversations. It's exactly like when it feels uncomfortable, well, you know, this is exactly when we are really getting into the thick of what we should. And how and part of what we're trying to do is figure out how to recognize, we all know that this is a need, how do we provide a safe space for that, how do we do that while also protecting our BIPOC folks from emotional labor that is not recognized, and how do we provide a place for our white allies and accomplices to really work out what needs to be worked out. And this disembodiment, this disassociation, which is really what I think, all of this is stemming from deep systemic trauma, because in the end, we all come from Indigenous people, like all of us. And so this disembodied trauma work is so powerful. And I'm very much a person who needs to have particular type of sensitivity and sensory sensitivity, and also like freedom to work through things in ways that are not just about a classroom, about sitting down and writing things out and working things through, which is, again, as you had put so well, is part of this white supremacist patriarchal model that we're in. And I would add in capitalist in that. And so we are all very much struggling underneath this. I like to look at all these systems as energetic, you know, so the patriarchy affects men and women, mm-hmm. and affects us differently. The white supremacy affects Black and white and other folks as well, and all affects us differently. But all these energetic systems are really against all of our nature. And one of the things we're trying to do is figure out a way to provide the respite and care that black-bodied folks and brown-bodied folks need right now to just regroup and find thriving as opposed to surviving part of their sentence of life. And also, how do we provide a safe space for white-bodied folks who really do want to do this work to be able to do it safely as well? I think I answered.
Yeah, and I really appreciate you talking about how these systems are energetic, right? Because I think a lot of people, you know, will engage mentally, right? There's like kind of an intellectual disconnect. But once we really tap into our bodies, you know, there's so much trauma, again, experienced differently and on different kind of sides of the power line, of course. But in these systems, we all lose, right? And when we can understand that these systems are energetic and so therefore they are operating energetically in us, then it becomes imperative that we address the body and the energy body, right? Not just the physical body, but the energy body, the heart, so that we can really kind of extract these internalized energies that aren't ours and that do keep us from entering into thought.
Exactly. And so you brought up something so beautifully. So if we are 4% matter.
Yeah.
In all how we feel solid.
Yeah.
Then the rest is this energetic piece. And also how do, I have two links to a couple podcasts that I will share or I'll share later as well on any of these feeds that one of the pieces that's brought up is like how, especially with white bodied folks, because we need y'all so much right now. You know, we really need white folks to go towards their own culture and really do this energetic emotional labor. What does it look like to really look into this, right? And where do we give ourselves these loopholes to get out of something where we're like, well, it just doesn't feel right? Like, of course, okay, the majority of white body people do not want to burn black bodies or string them up in a tree. But there are all of the systemic pieces that are coming out of this energetic framework, which is really around like a small group of people in power over a larger group of people who actually have the power, which has been going on for millennia. So what does it look like when white-bodied folks who we need so much who actually are in this kind of middle range, they're not Trump supporters, they're not, you know, and they're feeling like they're good people, so I don't think I am actually racist. Like, how do we get to those places where we're like, well, this is a system that is racist and there is no way to escape it on either side? Mm-hmm. There is a purity in being a person who is marginalized in the sense that you can be like, this is problematic, don't do this to me, or this is wrong. But there is no conversation about what happens when you are the person who is benefiting from that structure.
Right.
Regardless of what your heart or your religion or whatever else tells you.
Right. Yeah, and I think that these offerings are really important because there are a lot of white-bodied folks who do understand intellectually, who have this understanding of, like, I'm a good person, but haven't done the embodied work, haven't done the heart work, haven't really looked into ancestry. Again, if we're thinking energetic, that karmic piece, that ancestral inheritance is in our fields. Who also don't know kind of where to look for the tools to do that deeper work. And because it is very scary to do that work and kind of unlearn who you've been taught you know, who you thought you were. And, you know, we talk so much about social privilege, which obviously it is, but it often comes with cultural and energetic poverty, right, of not knowing who you are, of not tapping into your body,
exactly.
Of not knowing your
ancestors. Disassociation, like spiritual, energetic lineage form of disassociation that is, I believe, so much part of why there is this framework at this point.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So we're gonna get deeper into this in a little bit, but tonight I'd love if you could just share with us more a sense of who you are and some of your journey that brought you to do this work. We'll say more full time. Mm-hmm. So how did you pivot from music to offering these workshops at Mountains Way? What drives this work for you, and then also some of your upcoming offerings and the vision that you're holding for this work.
So from music and activism. Well, I believe art is activism in general, and I was born and raised in Manhattan. My father is from Ethiopia. My mom is British Isles background and settler colonialist family. We were very much raised in our Ethiopian culture as much as, the rest of the cultures that were happening in Manhattan in the mid-70s and early 80s. So, from there, yeah, I really wanted to be a musician. So I played music. I got into, community work when I dropped out of college at 19 and joined AmeriCorps program. And so that was, the beginning of being okay, there's this balance between an intellectual world and the physical world of assistance and community work. And then... So had a number of years that I was independently on my own out west doing music, doing my own thing, and eventually ended up back on the East Coast as my father was diagnosed and dying, as we found out later, from an aggressive form of Alzheimer's up in northern New England. So through a bunch of different circumstances, I ended up being here full time. And in that, I started playing music up here, and it was really hard. It got increasingly hard. It got increasingly hard in the last, 15 years of we've been having all of these videos coming out of police killings of Black people, of Indigenous people, the missing, murdered Indigenous women, just all over the country. And I'm here in this very white area that does not want to deal with, in any way, what's going on in the rest of the country, what's going on in the rest of the world, and this kind of self-congratulatory way that Vermont and New Hampshire in the northern ends, and I'm sure Maine as well, mm-hmm. are we don't have these problems here. No, you don't, because the Indigenous people that are here are pushed out to the sides if they even know who they are. There's very few Black people. And so I would be performing and making very little money and having this, these images burned into my mind of all of these murders when before it was trauma porn, when it was just no one even cared, right? So I would just go out and play this music and understand what African people have done for what we think of as American music, which is the most popular form of popular music in the world because of the African influence, but really hard, and put up all my PA, run the sound, and then play for a whole bunch of white folks who really don't care that we just had another lynching.
Yeah.
But they do really like to see us on screen or on the basketball court or on a video or playing in a bar or appropriating the music that's coming out of tragedy and grief. So I got to a place with a couple other folks that I knew that were artists, black artists in the area, and we would just kind of have these wakes. Like, we would just get together and we'd weep and we would be angry and we would look through stuff and we would try to find a way to put our grief as, what, you know, this is why this music is so beautiful, why our art is so beautiful, is transmute it into something. Like, you take nothing and, or worse than nothing, and create something from it. And then from there, recognizing that this is a battle of endurance, what do we need to do at this point to recognize or to be able to feel safe enough to take a break, to, you know, recharge our own personal, physical, energetic batteries to be able to then continue to go forth? So my daughter is 13. I don't think this is going to be done in her lifetime if we have a planet still. So I started getting into this in my own self-care and my own self-healing to be able to find ways that I could maybe provide, like, just be a frontier person in the sense of saying, okay, well, if we recognize logically that this isn't going to end anytime soon and we have all this work to do, what is it that we need to do to be able to sustain ourselves, to move from survival mode to thriving as well? Where do we get the rest? What is it that I need? And, you know, in that sense, I'm trying to provide what I've been looking for, like what I would need right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think that's often the path, right? When it kind of from our own wounds and experiences and lessons, when we get some tools and do some of that healing, that next step, which is really our responsibility and our soul calling, is to provide those tools and offerings to others so that they don't have to kind of suffer in the same way. Yeah, so Sanight, can you tell us a little bit more just about what offerings you are providing right now, how you're thinking about it, like what it looks like, so our listeners can just kind of have an understanding of more of the logistics and tangible pieces of this work.
Awesome. Yeah, I have two workshops that I'm running this summer. These came out of really trying to put together a BIPOC, Black, Indigenous, Person of Color, People of Color retreat space last Interdependence Day, we'll call it, on the 4th of July. and a lot of white folks showed up, and there was a lot of, like, issues. So it seemed to make sense. Like, I got enough donations from a weekend where it was supposed to be mostly Black and Indigenous folks that showed up, where it was all white, mostly white men who showed up, and then a couple supporting allies and accomplices that were there as well. And we got donations from that enough to pay it forward, you know, through word of mouth for some now very good friends of mine from Ecuador to come and have respite and do ceremony on the land, which brought me to these workshops. So the first one has to do with death midwifery and basically being able to help and walk people through transition spaces, whether it's a physical death or not. And this is with Obayemi Parnum and Anne-Marie Keppel. And the premise of these, and then I have another workshop with Renee and her friend Jessica. And Renee is a performance artist, and she is going to be, I'm not even going to paraphrase this properly. I will give you the links and then y'all can look them up, because everybody who is doing these workshops is writing this better than I am going to speak it. The whole premise of this is that we have, especially up in in northern New England, where we have a lot of like anti-racism workshops going on, where you don't have BIPOC folks running them, that I always have having BIPOC facilitators and white facilitators. And these are for white-bodied people, though any of the BIPOC family and friends of anyone who's participating or facilitating can come and just enjoy the land, enjoy our meals with us. But the idea is that we will be holding space and active listening in the beginning of every session, morning and afternoon, for BIPOC facilitators to do whatever they're going to do. So Bayemi has a bunch of skits ready for all of us, which I will be participating in. Mm-hmm. And then Renee, the whole thing she's doing is her whole performance piece. And then from there, the BIPOC facilitators get to leave. This is part of active listening, unless they actually actively direct the workshop participants to respond or ask them questions. No one's allowed to speak to them about what they brought. And then the white facilitators take it over in order for this to be also a safe space for white-bodied folks to be able to unpack what they need to do. And I'm Ethiopian, so the food component of these retreats is very important for me. I've been working really hard to make sure I have very limited participants in the actual workshops themselves, because what I like to do, what I believe and what is part of like my cultural tradition, is that if your soul and if your body is nourished, then your spirit can find its nourishment too. So there's a grounding in the physical body that is so hard for white bodied folks in white communities to actually have experience with. I hope I'm answering you properly. This is such a work in progress, and what I'm really trying to do with these workshops is have the facilitators really create it under these kind of structures.
Yeah, and that was what I was just going to pull out, because I think that's so beautiful that you create the container, right, and kind of create this space for the offering, but then the facilitators decide how they want to fill that container, and you're very hands off in that, which I think is amazing. And also just how organic this has been. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more just about, you know, it does take courage to do activism differently, you know, and to enter into a new space and just try things without necessarily a blueprint for it, just based on kind of what happens and what it kind of you intuitively feel is needed in that moment. And my experience has been that that's really what you're doing here, and that's part of what makes it so very powerful, is that it's just this very organic unfolding based upon who's there and what needs to happen.
Exactly. The co-creation, I've been like kind of a supporting organizer for a bunch of different camps and groups and friends. And what I've noticed is that as organizers, like, everything just tends to separate so much. And then if we can come together, we do have to have like this balance of enough of a framework to work underneath. Mm-hmm. But it is also really important within that framework, which keeps us feeling safe, you know, yeah, is this kind of ability to look at who we are individually coming into any particular group.
Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful. Thank you so much tonight. We're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we're going to talk more specifically about reparations and different ways of understanding reparations and understanding an energetic take on reparations, and also tonight's take on why nourishment and radical hospitality for BIPOC folks is so important and imperative to this work. So please come back for the second half of Heart Change Consciousness after this break.
Patricia McNair, host of Divine Guidance with Patricia. And I'm here to help you live a more authentic, spiritually connected life. Join me every first and third Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Being who you are in everyday life is the key to unlocking soul wisdom within that our whole self already knows. Get ready to embrace your spiritual, mental, and emotional well-being, your whole being. Discover your gifts and strengthen your connection to spirit. We will explore earth guidance, divine truth and love, past life lessons, and so much more. So listen in to Divine Guidance with Patricia and join in your personal adventure to triggering, opening, validating, and being all that you are. For more information about me, visit divineguidance.earth.
In a roundabout of dysfunction, stop circling around difficult issues and find out what's been holding you back. Learn how to speak your truth to power with host Dr. Kathy Aubert. Create real change with smart tools and smart strategies. No frills, no fluff, just life-changing conversations to help get you where you want to be. Extend your reach and become an agent for real change with Kathy Aubert. For more information on Kathy and her work, please visit drkathyaubert.com. That's drkathyaubert.com.
It's time to get your life back on Burn Bright Today with Jennifer Marcinelli. Tune in each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Learn to move from the darkness of burning out to the light of burning bright. Jennifer is redefining stress and the energetic causes of burnout, shining a light on process to get your life back. For more information about Jennifer and her work, visit burnbrighttoday.com.
Transition, simultaneously the most difficult and vital part of the human experience. Without change, how would we grow? Tune in to Grounding Into Your Radiance with Stacey Barber every second and fourth Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Step into your truth and allow the light into your life. For more information about Stacey and her services, visit StaceyBarber.com. That's Stacey, S-T-A-C-I-E, Barber.com.
Tune in to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Steffen each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit TheTruthIsFunny.com.
Faithful, my love, your letter, it'll take every
And thank you for staying with us at Heart Change Consciousness. I'm here today with Tonight Tomlinson of Mountains Way Sanctuary talking about the importance of respite for BIPOC folks and how it can be understood as a form of reparation, so these energetic reparations. So Tonight, before we delve back into our conversation, can you just let our listeners know how they can get in contact with you and learn more about some of these workshops we've been talking about?
Right, so right now the best place to find me is on either Facebook through my Tonight Tomlinson page, which will be spelled out for you. I think I'm the only one that is on the planet that is Yankee and Ethiopian. And also through my Gmail account, which is Tonight with two T's at Gmail. And so those are the best ways to find me, and I get back to everyone as quickly as possible.
Yeah, thank you. All right, so I want to make sure that we have time to get into a conversation about reparations and a more in-depth conversation about it. So there's lots of conversations happening about racial reparations, and I know that this is something you're thinking deeply about, and these respite and retreat and workshop spaces that you're offering are kind of your offering, right, an understanding of energetic reparations. So oftentimes conversations of reparations solely focus on economic reparations. And obviously under white supremacist capitalist patriarchy, this is really important and vital. And as your work suggests, it doesn't need to be the only way of conceiving of reparations. So I also know that the land, in addition to the kind of human reciprocity and energetic reparations, is an important container for this work. And so I'm wondering if you can just talk a little bit more about the nuanced ways you're thinking about reparations and what this really means to you, some of the questions that you're thinking through.
Right. So one of the links that we'll share with you all are from podcasts that are really good beginnings of a rabbit hole to get into in all these. And the definition of reparations are making amends of wrong one has done to other people or another person by monetary amends or otherwise. And so we're looking at the otherwise part because there's a lot of conversations on reparations, and in the mainstream dialogue around it really has to do with money. It has to do with, you know, how much money, who's going to get it, and then again, the sort of like racist dialogue on, you know, if we're going to give all this money away, like people better spend it properly, all of that. I believe that the reparations are deeper than that. And one of the things, as in addition to providing this on the land, is actually the space for white-bodied folks to have a way to provide reparations that are actually very direct. Mm-hmm. So one of the things, like I'm a quarter of the way through medical apartheid. I can only take it a little bit at a time because it's mm-hmm. so triggering and intense and just beautifully written and very dense. So there's so much in what I have been talking to with, you know, my Black sisters especially, of how hard it is for us to not only say we need help, but then be able to go out and get help and then feel safe in that ask. Mm-hmm. So one of the things I'm really trying to do with this, my mother and father met a year after Love versus United States.
Wow.
So a year before they actually knew each other, it would have been illegal for any of us to be in existence or for them to be together. So when I was 6 months old in 1975, they bought 200 acres in unceded Abenaki land in New Hampshire in the foothills of the White Mountains. So I am working really hard in terms of, I know this is really powerful ceremonial land, like it was definitely a gathering place for people, in how everything is situated in our southern exposure, even though we're in the mountains, that I really would like to honor the original inhabitants and users of that land, or stewards, mm-hmm. To provide this spiritual, energetic care. That radical hospitality is providing something that just is so extremely welcoming that you can't help yourself. And also have it be provided by brown and black people, and come to a place that you feel safe in, come to a place that you can wade through the Trump signs that are still up on my road, mm-hmm. and still up in the community at large here on the New Hampshire and Vermont side, to be able to reconnect to the land, to receive nourishment in terms of food, and just the rest is what keeps being so important, being able to take a deep breath. I have a whole, like a lot of folks who end up coming for respite on the land, and they want to do all these things, and they end up sleeping for a number of days, which makes me feel happy. They sleep, eat, sleep, eat, sleep, eat. And actually is such the indication of, yeah, the 10 years less of like life expectancy that we have as Black and Indigenous people of color, the traumas that we receive in the hands of the medical world, in the hands of, you know, like the school institutions and every other place where you're always an other, or it's just set up enough that you're definitely aware.
Yeah. And I'm thinking, when we talked before, you said something about how nourishment needs to come before pleasure, right? Like before you can even open to the possibility of pleasure, right? That just nourishing what is and kind of meeting those basic needs and feeling safe enough and also worthy enough to have that container and that space to do that work. Because it is, it's soft, vulnerable work receiving nourishment, right? Especially if there's been a culture that's actively gaslighted, denied that, and told you that you are not worthy of it. And so tonight I'm wondering if you can talk a little bit more just about the centrality of nourishment. And you like to use the term radical hospitality, which I and why this is so important to the work that you're doing.
Yeah, well, so I'll talk about it, I guess, a little historically, personally historically, in terms of my father, who came here in the early 60s. He was born in 1932 in Ethiopia and came here in the early 60s and ended up as the New York director of the New York Office of the World Food Program, working with food insecurity. But it's also very much part of the Ethiopian culture. It's a very dignified, distant culture in a sense, but food is primary. One of the way that we eat traditionally is all together in a big plate, and we go around feeding each other as a sign of respect. And no one is turned away in this format. And so, I feel like the love and joy is like kind of, I mean, I guess for probably most folks, if you think about like water for chocolate, where you have food that you are making that is just like filled with prayers and filled with whatever energy that you're in at that moment. And I do everything from scratch, and I love taking care of people's like dietary needs, especially when it is such a thing of shame for most folks. And also, so it's not just the need or the asking or the worth of it, it's even the ability to relax enough to, you may know you're worth it. I know I'm worth it. I should be able to have this, but can I relax enough? Do I feel comfortable enough to just allow someone else to walk to an outdoor kitchen and then lunch is set up and not have to think about, like, you didn't have to necessarily pay. You didn't necessarily have to do anything. You just had to make sure we knew that you could have the beautiful Vermont cheese or not, or whatever else we're offering. That feeling of, yeah, the quiet of safety to be able to accept and receive care and accept and receive energetic healing, which I'm also offering for BIPOC folks in terms of the healing work I do in my studio, as you know, that is really about, you can come here and I'm not going to make any comments about your skin or your hair. I'll also know how to, you know, do cranial work without messing up your braids or your dreads or whatever, but also really just this feeling of being able to relax and know that, like, you can just receive, you can let go of those things. And this is, I believe, is what's killing so many BIPOC folks so early. Like, we are dying because we are not able to rest. We don't have much time to relax, again, whether we understand that we're worthy of healing, worthy of nourishment, worthy of just, the radical hospitality in terms of the general care for that body.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm thinking of, and we mentioned it last show, Joe Osias was on, and she's done some work with the Knapp Ministry, right? But the Knapp Ministry is making a very political statement about how rest for BIPOC folks is a form of reparations and is very, very necessary. And
I agree.
And that receiving, and I appreciate that. Even if one knows, right, that you're worthy, there's also just this, like, how?
Yeah, how, right? And like, how do you feel comfortable?
Yeah.
I have, all these things are things I'm doing because it's stuff that I haven't been able to find myself.
Yeah.
How do I relax enough to have the ability to receive? And these are the reparations. So I'm glad you brought us around in your very beautiful way, that reparations in terms of the mainstream dialogue has to do with money. But the reality of reparations is that it has to do with education. It has to do with healing. It has to do with places and accessibility to healing and alternative ways of healing and the recognition that in so many communities that there is this ongoing history of just actual horrible usage by medical and political and every other industrial complex you can think of, and it feels like it's just such an easy way to be like, well, we can't just give every black person in the United States X amount of money, which is, of course, not even talking to the indigenous people of this country about the reparations of the stolen land. Mm-hmm. But that's like a whole other podcast, right?
Mm-hmm.
That in these places that it can be so easily blown up. Oh, well, we can't do this. Well, actually, you can. Because you could actually educate yourself by taking a workshop that does pay it forward to the facilitators and other people, or find these ways of, in a sense, anonymously doing this. Like, you do your work and you don't do it for virtue signaling. You do it for the actual reality that, you know, there are people that have been suffering for so long, for so many generations under these systems. It doesn't take away from anyone else's suffering, but actually means that, like, in one of these podcasts, what did she say? She said, it's like, you know, it's this idea of black, like, we always have to be so much better and still fail.
Mm-hmm.
And that creates, like, if people in this sort of larger white culture are obsessed with the looting and rioting and things like that, then that is the biggest time to then really reflect on what you're expecting people who have nothing and no care and no rest and no ability to move outside of anything on the basis of their race, not intelligence, not class, not anything else, right? On the basis of race. What that means for that. If people do not want this country to go down in flames, I believe what we really need to do is make big strides forward to do this type of respite work or the paying it forward for black and indigenous people of color to actually be able to utilize and find these safe spaces to receive care and be able to start feeling like we are loved.
Mm-hmm.
and not just worthy in our own sense, but that we are cared for in our community.
Yeah. And that care work, right? I mean, care work is a big part of the social justice movement that's really getting more attention now. I'm thinking tonight about how, of course, in a white supremacist capitalist patriarchy, reparations would be reduced to economics and solely economics, right? Because thinking about things energetically or reciprocity or just
collaborative, cooperative exchanges of giving and receiving, that's not really on the radar. Everything's kind of based in this very contractual mindset and modality. I'm wondering, tonight, before we run out of time, can you just name the podcast? Because I think we have the visuals of it.
The two podcasts that are really good, and they both have, conversations with folks who are doing other podcasts, so you can just really dive into this. The first one is Code Switch, and the one that I really love on the Code Switch in general is great because my partner turned me onto it during the last election, and I was finding that it was like all the questions, all the questions on semantics, mm-hmm. all the things that I'm still looking to understand, also being like a Gen Xer, like post-racial mm-hmm. generation that the young people are really teaching me about, like really all the things that I think about, but I'm in a white area and I can't really talk to anyone about asterisks. And then the other one is Resistance. And I would just say it just started. I would just listen to all of them. And those are both NPR sponsored podcasts, and they're awesome. And I think that it is so important to really, like as you were saying, the conversation about reparations in terms of money is a really easy way to dismiss the whole way we need to restructure things if we don't want. People want the status quo to remain mm-hmm. because basically two ways. It's either going to burn down one way or it's going to burn down the other way. So if you actually want it to, so you can still have your Walmarts and all your things, then you probably want to look into these other ways to recognize what's happening in the rest of the culture around you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think just to kind of bring it back that as things are burning and crumbling, right, these old structures, they really are crumbling. Care and nourishment and really checking in with our bodies, these are tools and ways for kind of navigating all of these energetic shifts because everybody, again, regardless of your social positionality, right, the structures are crumbling and we are entering into this new space.
The ways we look into our own communities close by ourselves, I think is vital. How do we nourish each other where you can actually look across the street and see somebody?
Yeah. Tonight we are almost out of time. If you want to remind people how to get in touch with you, because we didn't get to talk about it, but you also do healing work, you do sessions with people, and you have these upcoming workshops in June and July. If you want to just share before we...
Yeah, so you can find me at Sunite Tomlinson on Facebook, and we'll remind you of the spelling of my name and everything. And I can always be found on the personal message there or through my Gmail account, which is Sunite with two T's, as in Sunite Tomlinson, at Gmail as well. And, yeah, I'm also just totally open for folks who just want to have conversations about this. And we're trying to really build a network where we have lots of ways to not just say, y'all need to do this, but be like, y'all need to do this and here.
Thank you for tuning in to Heart Change Consciousness on TransformationTalkRadio.com with me, Dr. Trish DeRocher. Make sure to come back next time so we can continue to awaken your soul purpose. Look forward to more conversations with your favorite authors, changemakers, influencers, activists, and many more who practice inspired spiritual activism and transform vulnerabilities into sources of strength. For more information about me and Transformative Consciousness Coaching, visit transformativeconsciousness.com. That's transformativeconsciousness.com. This was Heart Change Consciousness on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
The
views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
And good Wednesday to you. Benny Mathers here for a look at your Alternative Talk AM 1150 traffic update for around the town. Well, good thing, folks, so far no major blocking or accidents to report at the moment in this partly sunny skies day so far. A little bit more sunshine hopefully arriving later on today. 405 northbound still slow. Not too bad, though. Not as heavy as it was earlier this morning. Still out of those S-curves by the Sunset Boulevard exit and Park Drive. Smooth up through to Kennedale Hill. Stay tuned for another hour of the Transformation Talk Radio Network. Coming up next after the news and weather, this time it's the Healing Hour with Dr. Sharon Martin. NBC News Radio, I'm Lisa Taylor. President Biden says the world is changing rapidly and argues the U.S. must remain ready.
We're at a significant inflection point in world history. And our country and the world, the United States of America, has always been able to chart the future.
Biden delivered the commencement address at the U.S. Coast Guard Academy in Connecticut and insisted the class of 2021 is ready for whatever missions may come. He noted growing and diverse threats and said the role of the Coast Guard is expanding. The president said threats include climate change and increasingly severe weather events. Former President Trump is calling the New York probe into his organization corrupt investigation and desperate search of a crime. Trump called these investigations a continuation of the greatest political witch hunt in U.S. history. He also criticized New York Attorney General Letitia James and claimed we are no longer a free democracy when candidates pledge to take out their enemies when they run for office. He claimed Democrats failed to stop me in Washington, so they turned it over to New York to do their dirty work. New Yorkers fully vaccinated against coronavirus can remove their masks in many settings starting today, but Mayor Bill de Blasio is urging caution.
For me, when in doubt, wear the mask. Simple as that. We've done it, for God's sakes, for a year. We can do it a little bit longer to finish the job. That's the approach I'm going to take.
He says all city employees are mandated to wear masks in offices because they'll be with a mix of vaccinated and non-vaccinated people. The mayor thinks most customers will respect each other and honor a business if it chooses to mandate masks. Private businesses are allowed to set their own mask rules if they're stricter than the state and can check someone's vaccination status. Stocks are recovering some of their losses after a brutal start to the day. All the major averages are now down at least 0.5%. This comes after the Dow Jones Industrial Average lost more than 500 points in early trading. The cryptocurrency market is also recovering after a devastating start. Bitcoin is now back above $40,000. It had fallen to $30,000 this morning. You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
Hi, I'm comedian Darren Streblo, and each Sunday at 7 a.m., it's comedy to get your morning started right. The Darren Streblo Comedy Show features family-friendly comedy, along with those little bits of encouragement that we all need to get through the week. You'll enjoy stand-up comedy, plus I visit one-on-one with comedians to find out just what makes them tick. Remember, laughter is the best medicine, and we've got your dose. Sundays at 7 a.m., it's the Darren Streblo Comedy Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Basile and Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone. You're listening to Maximum Medicine Radio, The Healing Hour, with me, Dr. Sharon Martin, here on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This is the Hour of Healing Power. In this live call-in show, The Healing Hour, I'm going to take your calls and help you get started on your way to your maximum potential. So come on, settle in, listen up, and I'll take your questions head on. Together, we'll find practical wisdom and understanding about what ails you. In The Healing Hour, we'll start your day off right. Insights and practical health knowledge, the concepts for how you really live. I'll take your issue and help guide you with a blend of scientific medicine and the esoteric, including shamanic energy medicine. So let's shake off some of that mystery and get started on how to really live. Together, let's get unstuck. So come on and join in, join up, and let me help, and let go of what holds you back from being the maximum you the world needs. Take down this call-in number, 1-800-930-2819, and let's get started on the Healing Hour right now. That's what we're doing. I think that's what we're doing.
How are you?
Good. The Healing Hour with Dr. Sharon Martin and me, Dr. Pat, bridging the mystical and scientific. You know, one of the things I want to say right now to everybody listening, Sharon, and then I want you to kick it in about today's topic. You know, I was thinking about this, Doc, and accelerated potency and healing, intuition and intention. And I did a little show yesterday on a totally unrelated topic. But the conversation has to happen about when we know something. Like we just know it inside. We know it. And yet we just don't do anything with it, or we second guess ourselves. And today's show is so important because this is a live call-in show, and also for Jacob, it is a Facebook live show. And so what that means is that if you're on Facebook or social media or anywhere you're hearing the show, it doesn't matter. This is to help all of us understand that we are more powerful than we can imagine. And in your work and what you're creating, not just for this show, but for the world, and you're bringing together your knowledge, your wisdom, and your experience as a medical doctor and as a shaman, and taking East and West, and understanding the nuances of ancient and timeless healing. And that's what you're bringing to this show. And I want to encourage all of you out there today as we're talking, this is a live call-in show. It is the Healing Hour for a reason. It's because sometimes we don't know what we don't know about what needs to heal. But you know you're stuck, or you know there's something in your way, or you know you got an ache and pain, but you may not know what it is. This is what we're talking about, but not just in a marginal way. This is accelerated potency in healing. That's really what we're looking for, Dr. Martin, aren't we?
We really are. I like the fact that we want to lead with this. I was struck the other day. I referred a client to a group in England, and they cleared the energy field with a three-man team, a psychiatrist, a medium, and the medium's ability to tap into the spirit guides of the people. And literally in 10 minutes, they have a template with which they work. They can set the person's announce in effect to the person's spirit guides to clear and remove any debris, remove foreign influences. And every single person I have sent there has felt different immediately. And I was struck by what is it that makes how we approach healing nowadays so slow, and to me, it's bogged down. And I think what makes it even more pressing is we're in a critical time in our evolution as humans. We are at a critical time in our position on the earth, how we treat each other, whether or not we can evolve with our consciousness, our spirituality. So why can't we speed it up a little bit? And energy medicine promises that the changes that happen in the vibratory field, and then your physiology responds. But your physiology really is the slow part. So I just thought, wow, you know, we could really accelerate the potency of healing if we could get more people turned on to not just being aware of getting that message, like you said, you know it, but you don't act on it. Let's get you knowing it more, trusting it more, acting on it more. And then with your thoughts, set up the intention,
yeah. And
boom, change your field and change the rest of it.
Yeah. You know, this is something we go through every day, Doc Martin. And let's talk about the promise, for example, because we are talking about a very specific part of energy medicine and energy healing. And this is timeless. Before CAT scans, before all of the modern equipment, before using a robot to give me two titanium knees or whatever the heck they are, before all of that, is it that the people that walk the earth and information path, how is it that they could tap into, connect with something that would be going on in themselves and another person's body and have a remedy for it? And see, I wish we wouldn't replace that. Now, clearly, those folks are never going to give me new knees, so let's just be really clear about that. But we're talking about being able to understand that there is a promise of energy medicine. What is it?
Well, I think what we're challenged to do now, we moved along our trajectory of evolution, especially in the West, with so many advances under a scientific umbrella. And we got titanium knees. We got heart transplants. We got kidney transplants. We got dialysis. People get to live longer and better. But we did leave important things by the wayside. And the things that I believe that the indigenous have to offer that we have left by the wayside is that trust in your intuition, and I'll come back to that in a second, and then knowing that you could set an intention. And a lot of times in the indigenous world, that was set with ritual, with journeys, psychedelic journeys, with plant medicine, with dance. But they trusted their intuition. They were more tapped into the natural rhythms of the earth and nature. And we kind of got away from that as we got more and more technological. So I think we took on the science, which is beautiful. I am not arguing that science is not beautiful, but we left some important things behind.
I want to talk about this because I'm finding something really interesting happening. I think people have been left to themselves here for about 18 months, and I think they've been tapping into things. I think we're stepping into a world where we're starting to hear messages. I don't want to say voices because that's not correct. You know, there's a level of knowing that just happens, and people can't explain it. I went through this myself recently, and I'd like you to address this for a minute, because we're talking about intuition, and we're talking about the imbalances, but we're talking about how do you take your intuition and go from there to an intention to make a change. And sometimes it requires effort. It requires a little effort. And I was just reflecting on this the other day. I was talking with you, and, you know, I'm not going to talk about this on air, but you had a comment about a cough you heard. And that ripple effect, to me, made me think. I had an issue with my right knee, which I had done. And I tried to explain for 2 months, there's something in it. I mean, this is the way I talk. There's something. But I'm not a doctor. I don't know what it is, but there's something not right. And in the world we're living in today, it is very hard to say to somebody there's something not right because they can't get it. Mm-hmm. And so we have to also learn the translation language to go from intuition to intention to action. Sometimes it doesn't involve other people. Sometimes it does. But don't we still have to learn that language?
Well, yeah, because you yourself have to learn how to deepen enough to find the language to explain it, to have the intuition to know, is this in the bone or is this in the muscle? So you can guide the person with less intuition, usually a medical doctor, I'll admit that. And then we have to teach ourselves to believe that, to communicate that, and to not turn away when somebody says, there is something, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, at one point, I got to tell you, the way that I found to communicate both, and I have a great Sean at Evergreen PT, oh, my God, over in Kenmore, what a guy, saved it for me. Because I started to text message my doctors, I think there's an alien in here. I'm serious. That is the way I started to talk about it because I got their attention. We're going to take a short break, Sharon, because when we come back, we are going to talk about and help people accelerate and trust. Trust. Trust that thing we call intuition. You know, trust that knowing that the shamans, or let's not even give them a name. Trust that knowing that people that help heal other people and help heal themselves, trust that intuition. Today, this is what Dr. Martin does. She will tap into your energy field with your permission. If there's something going on with you, if there's something, and it doesn't have to be about your body, because it could be emotional. You know, it could be like Susan talks about, you know, the emotional jacket, or it could be something that is physical in your body. Why not try to take the leap into healing? Accelerated potency in healing, intuition and intention. I swear. That's what we're talking about today. One without the other, I don't know. I don't know how well that works. Hasn't worked for me. When we come back, it's all about giving you what you need to get to I squared. 1-800-930-2819. 1-800-930-2819. When we come back, more about this, and by the way, more about healing. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
Welcome to Light Body Wisdom with internationally known Light Body Whisperer, Grace Holm. She will make you laugh and yawn as you release lifetimes of trauma and begin to feel much lighter. Your divine gifts may be activated, allowing you to weave light into the fabric of the world. Are you ready to be your own light and shine? For more information about Grace, visit GraceGHOM.com. That's GraceGHOM.com.
Take the power of essential oil healing to the next level with the Essential Light Insight Deck, containing 61 oracle cards. Each card holds a painting and message that captures the spirit of an essential oil. By drawing a card, you'll illuminate the spiritual healing capacity of plants and transform your day. For more information about the Essential Light Insight Deck and Gen Ripa, visit Thriveology.com.
Hi, this is Brittany Miles from Miles to Go, How to Lose to Gain It All. Here to share a tip with you. It's called 5-4-3-2-1. We all need a break. Time to let it go. Here's a great go-to when you need to surrender and get back to the present moment. Acknowledge 5 things you see around you. Acknowledge 4 things you can touch around you. Acknowledge 3 things you hear. Acknowledge 2 things you can smell. Acknowledge 1 thing you can taste. And with that, take a deep breath. Now you're in the present moment. Brittany Miles, Miles to Go, How to Lose to Gain It All. You can find me on the 2nd and 4th Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio.
Are you ready to shift your current beliefs about death? From debilitating pain and loss? Follow Angie Corbett-Kiefer as she shares that through choice, present moment awareness, and keeping an open mind. Anything is possible, even in death. Tune in to Beyond Proof Radio with Angie, redefining death and loss every first Wednesday at 12 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more, visit BeyondProof.com.
Yeah. Welcome back. This is the Healing Hour. I'm Dr. Pat. I get the honor of doing this show with Dr. Sharon Martin. Dr. Sharon Martin, for those of you out there, and we're going to go to phones in a minute. Hanley, we'll get right to you, so stay with us. Dr. Sharon Martin is not just Doc Martin, but she is mastery of bridging the mystical and the scientific. When you think about somebody that has, you know, works with patients every day in the medical field and then has studied, has then become, you know, this woman that is expert in energy medicine, in healing, in the ways of the ancient ones. And you think about, here we are, internal medicine, and now we're looking at this ancient ability to heal. Today's show is extremely important because what she has created in maximum medicine is what we call I squared. Intuition and intention, I squared. Why do we say squared? Why are we not saying this plus this? Because energetically, when you take intuition and intention to that level, to an exponential level, that is when you get results. And, you know, we're going to go to the phones here in a minute. So let me tell you about this. This is short. I couldn't get the attention of anybody, Sharon. I did get the attention of Sean, my PT, and he started to wrap my knee. You know, I mean, this was an interesting journey. I had this one guy that was hands-on that got it, and he couldn't tell me what it was, but he started to take things in an interesting way. On the other side, I'm trying to communicate that there's something in here. I mean, I'm not making that up. And so I resorted to the only thing I could do in a message. I think I've got an alien in my knee because my knee is not the way it should be. Now, I'm not even close to that, not a medical doctor. But I knew something. And you're helping us today realize that maybe we all have access to intuition, right?
Yes, and Hanley will be with you in just a second. What I do the best, I think, is I teach and share with people what I know, what I've learned, what I think works. I'm a great translator. I can take a lot of esoteric jargon and make it down to earth. And when I think about the power, if you include your ability, a person's ability to tap into intuition, and then add to it your intention, that sends it off the charts. So does everybody have intuition? Does everybody have, everybody says, oh, I never can tell that. I never know. Everybody has it, and it can be practiced, and it can be taught. And it can, you can be shown ways to delineate, try this arena here. Tell me what you feel in your body. Tell me what knowing you have. Did you get an image of something? Did you see something when I asked you to think about this and that? And those are things we can all amplify our abilities with. So when somebody says, oh, I'm not psychic, there's no way. Well, we are intuitive. And again, when we get out of our high-tech world and get back in touch with nature and we start to feel the rhythms of birds and plants and grasses blowing and the brook babbling, you start to reconnect. I mean, think of the ancient ones, the hunters and gatherers who went out into the woods, and they knew by a simple rustle or the change of how many birds were chirping whether or not a deer was nearby. So we have to reconnect with those quiet places because that's where we hear. Denny, is Hanley still there? Hanley, may I help you?
Hi. Hi, this is Hanley.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day. Yeah, I wanted to call.
How can we help you today?
Well, my intuition has been running wild when it comes to reading personalities and people and coworkers, and my job has become very competitive, and my intuition is making it really hard for me to make friendships or to maintain some of these friendships that are really toxic and don't seem to be very healthy for me. And so I'm trying to do some healing, I'm trying to break some patterns from the past, but it seems like I need some assistance.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So thank you.
I get a couple of, let me just throw out a couple. I see a couple of lines of approach. The first is, do you need to stay in that job? So big, that's big picture. You know, is there something else you'd rather be doing? And the second is, if you are a sensitive and if you have empathic nature, everybody's wound up tight these days. So you are probably feeling a whole lot of chaos. And if it's a competitive work environment, you're also feeling everybody's push to get to the top. So how can you slow that observation down? Because you are in control of how much you allow to come in. So we'll come back to that in a second. And then how can you detoxify at the end of the day? So the first challenge, and we're assuming you're going to stay in this job, but I have this feeling like maybe you don't want to. But the first thing that you need to do is be very clear with your senses and your sensation of things around you, what you're going to let in. And even if you have to visualize putting a force field around you when you go to work and you put it up, are you old enough to know Star Trek way back when Scotty would, you know, go put up the warp, the power shield over the front of, put up the shield. You choose when to let it down and when to say, okay, I'm going to observe now. In your mind, you say, okay, I'm going to let in some observations, because there is a lot of swirling, chaotic energy, and that is exhausting for somebody who can sense it. And it's overwhelming, and it kind of just knocks you to your feet. But the second part is, when you get home, you need a ritual to clear, whether you have a crystal, something as simple as a bowl of water with some Epsom salts and something like a tangerine oil. Just literally do what they did years ago at the temples, is put your hands in water and just wipe yourself down, thinking as you're doing it that you are clearing what doesn't belong to you. Hold the crystal, run that over your body, and then put the crystal in some salt water or put it outside on the ground overnight. So I think you have two challenges. You decide when you get to let something in, and then you've got to clear and release the stuff that you took in over the day.
Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome, and good luck to you.
Yeah, and please let us know how you're doing. You know, Doc Martin and I are on here regularly. We always like to follow up. But more importantly, what I really want to say to you is, if this continues for you, I would encourage you to reach out to Doc Martin directly and schedule some time with her. Doc Martin, what is the best way to do that, or how they can work with you directly? Or, you know, we have an allotted amount of time during these shows, so folks get a solution, but may have more questions. How do they set up schedule and time to work with you?
So thanks, Pat. And yes, Hanley, I'm available if you need me for something deeper. The best way to do it is email me, and you can find the email on my website, which is drsharonmartin.com, and that's drsharonmartin.com. Get on there, get my email, email me. You need me, you tell me what you need, we'll work out how to make that happen. Thank you so much for calling in.
And, you know, I want to take a minute, if we could, and Tanner, thank you for that, because what I'm reflecting upon with what Tanner just shared also represents what a lot of people are feeling right now. You know, you're feeling energy, you're feeling energy from people that are equally anxious. I mean, you're picking up on things. You know, needless to say, people have been pushed past the brink. sometimes their behavior handling is not necessarily like the best it should be. And if you pick up energy on that and you take that in, we're talking about building and accumulating, you know, an entire field of that energy. And doesn't that affect the body, Sharon?
Yes, absolutely. And it affects us more. Nowadays, things are so polarized and so fractured, and that's everywhere. And I'll just tell a quick story before we have to go to another.
Please.
So I was feeling I'm getting older, and I'm thinking I want to retire, and how do I have enough money to do that if I'm going to quit working, and on. So I was thinking of downsizing my house. I live in a house with a beautiful piece of property, and I have animals and a miniature donkey, who's the greatest. And I thought I'm going to do that. I looked to downsize, and it was March, I believe, of 2020, and the COVID had just hit. And I remember coming down the driveway and having, talk about knowing, this was how I knew. I knew, I felt it in my gut. That's usually where I felt it. It was like this quiver where you know something's not right, so you better pay attention. And I was said, I felt this overwhelming feeling, do not move. Do not move. I shut down the whole thing, including my neighbor who had gotten the septic and the survey of the property I was going to buy and all of this. I shut it down, and thank goodness I did, because living down in this nature sanctuary over this past year, I had to still go to work. I didn't get to stay home and Zoom on my people all day. I had to go to work and every day see a million people who could have been carrying the virus, worrying about, am I going to get sick? Am I going to get it? Talk about toxic. And when I come home and I come down the driveway, that's my crystal bath, because I step into this sanctuary in nature and I can let all of that poison go. So here's where my intuition saved me, because I do believe that this nature here, the property here, being around my animals saved me in the past year, because this was a rough, rough year for everybody. I was very lucky to have a sanctuary to go to. So that's just my, you know, my story of knowing.
Yeah, it's an important story because it really ties into what we're going to talk about that when we come back. You know, there is a knowing that you had from that. And part of what we're talking about today, and we are taking all y'all's calls, 1-800-930-2819. Jacob is monitoring Facebook. We're taking questions there, here, everywhere, because this is what Doc Martin does. And we know that there are things that are going on, whether that's in your home, whether it's in your work, and you may not have that sanctuary moment. Sometimes we have to create them. What Doc Martin just gave to Hanley was just beautiful. So when we come back, what's the connection then with I squared? What's the connection between that and how does that impact a change in health? Where does it show up? What did we learn about belief? And why is it that a smile by a random person can make you look up? Let's take a short break. If you want to find out more about Doc Martin, drsharonmartin.com. That's drsharonmartin.com. We're also taking your calls at 1-800-930-2819. We'll be right back. Thanks.
Ready to put down that drink or drug for good? Are you struggling to maintain your recovery from addictive behaviors? Do you need help with a family member or loved one who's in early recovery or battling addiction? Get the help and guidance you need by arranging a recovery recharge phone session with me, Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, certified life and recovery coach. Call 1-800-889-889. 1757. Make an appointment today or go to my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, and click on the link that says Recovery Recharged. Don't wait. Get the help you need today. This is Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Everybody, it's me, psychic medium Jamie, and me, Spirit Walker Nicole. We are so excited to introduce you to our new live call-in show called Shades of Spirit on TransformationTalkRadio.com. As we connect you with your crossover loved ones, angels, and guides, and also help you develop your own psychic and healing abilities. For more information and to book your own private experience, go to ShadesOfSpirit.com and also follow us on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
How many times do you find yourself saying, it was nothing, or just doing my job, when really you knocked it out of the park? How did you get like this? Next time someone tells you, great job, you'll know how to accept it and not deflect it by listening to Courage to be Seen Radio with host Sherry Clark. Sherry Clark is an experienced global engineering leader, coach, and mentor. From her experiences one-on-one coaching to corporate consulting and executive coaching, Sherry has learned many women need at least three things to discover and face success. Learn about the ACES program, how to survive male-dominated fields with grace and authenticity, and reach the top without ever once giving up on who you are. Courage to be Seen host Sherry Clark explores the awesome power of your entire self and how far you can go by being more you. Check out her website, CourageToBeSeen.com. You have the courage to be seen. See you later.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack, and I'm excited to tell you about the latest technology. It is new to this country, and it's just amazing. God of Germany. The Healy is state-of-the-art technology for improving and changing the body vibration. I have more information about the Healy on my website, MaryJaneMack.com, or you can call the office at 888-777-4232.
Hey everybody, welcome back. This is the Healing Hour. I get to do this show with Dr. Sharon Martin. During the show, you just got a little bit of how she works with people, and you know what I would encourage all of you to do is go to drsharonmartin.com. But please take the time to give her a call. If there's something on your mind, if you want to do a consult, you know, it's 833-940-1882. Or you can email her at Sharon@drsharonmartin.com during this show. This is a call-in show. It's for all of y'all out there. 1-800-930-2819. You know, Doc Martin, listen. Intention, great, great thing to have. Intuition, great thing to have. But this show's about I squared. So let's talk about what happens when you put them together and what the impact of that is. What is the impact? Can it have an impact and change of health? And I say health to mean all health, mental, physical, emotional.
So I think we just back up a minute for consideration. It's one thing to have all the feelings, to have all the intuition. You felt your knee, it was making you nuts. I felt this, oh my God, I cannot leave this property. But that sitting there in that does nothing to take you forward. So you've got all the feelings and you're swimming in the swirling energy and you're feeling all of it. But then you have to me, intuition puts you in that sea of energy and you can feel all of it in different waveforms. But then when you do intention is your consciousness saying, okay, taking all of this swirl, I want a laser arrow directed at where I want to go. That's your thought. That is your intention. And you are completely in control of that. And in fact, that is a key critical part to self-healing through energy work. You set your intention. So it has to be, and I'll come back to swimming in the sea in a minute, but that intention has to be absolutely clear. It can't be fuzzy and, well, I want a new job, or I don't like to go to this office with toxic energy. Well, that doesn't tell spirit, what do you really want way out there? What's the end game? Specific in the end game. So for Pat, she had to send up an email, red flag, I have an alien in my knee. But she said, okay, I'm getting this doctor's attention because I need their input. And I am totally intending that this person will now respond to me. Well, of course, when you see the word alien, you're like, oh, my God, I better talk to her before she goes off the rails. For me, I had to call. It was hard. I had to call my neighbor and say, I can't buy. I can't move. I can't do it. I'll pay you for the survey. I'll pay you for the water percolation test. I had to call the architect, say, stop, don't do anything. Because I felt it so much that it told me what was wrong. And then my intention said, I don't want what's wrong. I want what's right. And I'm going for that.
Right.
So that kind of laser, that's an arrow. That does take some training, is to hone your intention. Because again, if you're fuzzy, you don't hit the mark.
Yeah.
You have to be really, really saying something and just say, it's one thing, and this is taught beautifully by people like Esther Hicks and others. You don't say, oh, I don't want this. Oh, I don't want this. Oh, I don't want. You say, I want this. So everything in that positive realm, everything. So that to me is what intention is. And so you can't have intuition and not take it anywhere.
Yeah.
And your intention is guided by the intuition. Go ahead, Pat.
And this is part of what you help people with, Sharon, because I want to talk about what we have not talked about in Maximum Medicine. And this is part of the consulting and counseling you do. You know, people, if you're like me, you need help explaining yourself. It has been a lifelong journey for me to take what's in my head and in my heart and to explain it to people that are important to me, right? Now, look, if you work with great doctors or you work with great people, and this is not just about medicine, today's show is everything that shows up in your life. You know, I did a show yesterday, and I gave a very benign situation, a very totally not related to the body or not like anything, just my best friend. I knew I got these 16x16 concrete slabs because where the waste basket and the recycled basket and things I never had to think about were, they were on an angle and they were high up, and when you went to move them, it was like 30 pounds that you couldn't control. So I decided to put these cement things down. It's a long story that I'm going to make really short. I couldn't explain why I knew you just can't put them down. I couldn't explain that I needed to dig 10 of these, right, doubling up, so it's 16 by 16, and I needed to dig 2 to 3 inches, but I couldn't explain it. It's not logical. Why wouldn't you just flatten out this stuff and put it on? But I went out there and I did it. And I couldn't explain why I was going through that agony and pain. But when I got to the 3 inches, here's what I found. All the topsoil that would have really sunk these things over time was moved away. And there was this clayish layer. You know, it was clayish, it was rock, it was not great topsoil. It was a layer of something that they usually put down when they're trying to cover wires, right? But when you work with that, you're putting these very heavy blocks down, and they are not going to move. Moral of the story, though, we need help, and this is where you can help people, the Hanleys of the world, other people of the world, because we need a way and a language, because we're not ancient shamans. See, an ancient shaman was the ruler. If the ancient shaman said, you need to go soak your feet in eucalyptus, somebody just did it, come in. You're the translator, but in maximum medicine, you're the translator between metaphysical and scientific. And that is the skill we need to learn, Sharon. That story for me, if I'd had the skill to say, all I could say was, please trust me. I can't explain why we have to dig down. Please trust me. But that's not always easy to say, is it?
No, not easy to ask for help either.
No. And, you know, we have to be able to speak up about our bodies and our health. My doctor wanted to do my left knee first. I told my doctor, no, please do my right knee. And my doctor's like, but that's not your bad knee. I said, but you got to trust me on this. You know, please do my right knee. It was the best decision I'd ever made. To be honest with you, I think if he'd have done my left knee, I would have never done the right knee. But talk to us, Sharon, because we're not just talking about learning I-squared about our body and our health. We're talking about the importance of I-squared. Let's go ahead and skip the break. For those of you just tuning in, you're tuning into the Healing Hour with Dr. Sharon Martin. We're talking about what she has created, what she has learned in the process that she uses with her clients, with people that want to understand why they're stuck. Let's talk for a minute about what happens when you combine intuition and intention.
What I've learned over the years, and I had to learn to really bring to my awareness my intuition and then to set my intention. But when you put those two together, it is an exponential, and that's why we call it I squared. It is more than just I plus I. It takes it out of the park. And learning how to do that is something that you do in every phase of your life, not just your physical health, not just your mental health, but decisions on where to move forward with regard to a job, to a place you live, to a relationship. That is real control over your consciousness, your energy field, and because of that, it's real control over your destiny. So learning to really refine those things is key to moving forward, or to moving forward well. I mean, we do, not all of us have a beautiful, smooth path in life. We take a little detour, whoops, we're in the thickets, we move over here. We take another detour, we end up in poison ivy. It is poison ivy time around here in Pennsylvania. And so just learning, zigzagging until you really get it right. And if we can learn tricks to, wait a second, that doesn't feel exactly right, pulls us back quicker than before we end up in the thorn bushes.
This idea of intuition and intention, it's not an additive formula, and that's what I love about it, because when you put them together, the impact of putting them together is an exponential impact, you know. And what I mean by that is, you know, when I'm at my best and I trust in the process, and I've heard this from many people, people I've interviewed, but I've heard this from our listeners as well, when those two things are put together exponentially, action and transformation can happen in a nanosecond. Mm-hmm. Tell us about that experience, especially when it comes to healing, you know, emotional healing, physical healing, mental.
So let me just, I told you about sending clients to this team in England. Well, let's talk about clients I've directly worked with. When you can do a process, an energetic process, that can help the person relax enough and get out of their human head into their knowing, insights that they get are, again, as Pat said, nanosecond, boom, and they have the knowing, and then they have a choice, and then they know which path to take. So that's really what a lot of what energy practitioners help you do, is get into the place where you get out of your human thoughts, where you think you know everything, but it's not really the depth of universal knowledge or truth, and getting you into that flow, and then you go, oh, that's the path. So you're in a room, in a sense, this is just an image, you're in a room where there are no windows and there are no doors, and you can't, maybe it's one of those escape rooms or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Can't find your way out. But when you deepen into your knowing, and that often takes you getting out of your human head and sitting quietly. For me, the best place to find it is nature with my animals. Then all of a sudden you can see the outline in the wood paneling that really is marking the window, if that makes sense. It's a crude visualization. But you can see it, and then like you're in probably a Harry Potter movie, you go over to the bookcase and you push the right book and then the whole thing swings open. Well, you see the way through, and you can see it in ways. It takes your vision, inner vision, to seeing bigger than your human pathway, because, and I'm going to digress a second because
sure,
this is important. We talked about this before, Pat. Why is the human physiology so slow? And to me, it feels like it's because it's a hardwired, and each of us individually are hardwired differently. We have certain pathways, we have certain cellular components, so that anything we take in only goes through one way. When you float in the knowing, when you float in the picking up all of the pieces around you, you really expand how many things can trickle down, how many things can percolate through you. And that's what we want to do. That we want to take in more than our typical only one way we see something. And that expansion can be life-changing. So that's the beauty of learning some of the processes behind shamanic or energy work is really looking at things differently. And face it, modern-day Western medicine is really all about the physiology. So it's kind of constrained to the parts that you already have. It's kind of working in the hardwired. We want to get to all of the data that comes in, like changing the software. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I'll tell you what I'm really struck by. I'm struck by a bit of my training and trying to listen to people who understand Carl Jung or Neville, or trying to understand, you know, some of those messages about belief. And, you know, I remember how we were not really, what's the word I want to use for my school, allowed to consider Carl Jung. I remember having...
Hey, neighbor, don't gossip.
What happened here? I remember having in my paper once a reference of Carl Jung and spirituality. And, boy, it created the biggest fight ever. And I ended up having to pull it out, and then I put it back. But we're talking about a level of trust in a process. And the only process that existed, when you go back thousands of years, right, there was a level of trust and knowing. And we know we have the ability to do that. So that's what I am passionate about, helping us get back to that moment of knowing and trust, so we don't give up on our dream. Because we're not just talking about the body. We're talking about I squared to really activate and manifest pretty much anything, aren't we, Sharon?
We really are. And to be willing to look at it differently. Because when you float back into that seat of intuition, you start to see things differently. And that can change you, because if you can see it differently, you can walk differently. So So all of that, those are all wonderful tools to bring forth a really good life.
You know, I'm an idealist. Some people say that about me, but I'm also, you know, I believe in things that probably are from our pop culture. I often wonder if we're really using 7 to 9% of our brain capacity, what the heck would it be like if we used 12, 15? You know, where do we go with that?
I'd be the most brilliant man alive. Thank you.
I think you're the most brilliant.
Oh, thanks, Matt. I appreciate that. But
Benny, to be honest with you, I figured that out a long time ago. Not you.
Stop it.
But this is really what we're talking about, Sharon.
Well,
we are talking about a capacity.
That's why I think we wanted to say this is squared, is because it takes you, you know, if you jump from 7% to 15%, that is amazing. So anyway.
But let's bring this home today, because the message today is don't really let anyone tell you that your intuition, number one, is wrong. It may not be 100% right on. There was no logic I could present to anybody about why I didn't hang up 17 years ago and pulled out a credit card. People wanted to have me checked in for doing that. So, Sharon, what's the message for today? Tell us about what you are embarking on in helping people with I2.
Well, I love helping people see their possibilities, see their potential, and regain even the mastery over the 7% we're already using. But to regain
9
is a good.
Yeah.
To regain a power that's available to us. And when we tap back into the energies of nature, we are aligning ourselves with forces way bigger than ourselves, and we gain power there too. So that's what I like to teach about. Those are the things I like to help people do, is recognize that you can step back and grab some of that ancient wisdom. You might think, well, I grew up in, I don't know, Flushing, New York. I don't have any of that. Well, you do, because you have ancestral knowledge and wisdom, and you can tap into it even if your ancestors were Celts or, you know, people from France or African or anything. So anyway, I like to say that's what maximum medicine is, being more, learning how to really, really amp up your possibility and your power.
Yeah, and I just want to say to people here today, here's what's going to be happening. Dr. Sharon Martin is on the verge of writing her book. There's so much going to be presented in it. We're thinking about how we're going to take maximum medicine. We're going to put together programs for you. Imagine having a community group in maximum medicine that you can participate and have personal conversations with Doc Martin.
Thank you for listening to Maximum Medicine Radio, The Healing Hour, with me, Dr. Sharon Martin, on TransformationTalkRadio.com. We're going to be together the third Wednesday of each month at 11 a.m. Pacific for candid, honest conversation to help you change the way you think about healing, about yourself, about your life. Did you hear your answer on the show? Well, I will be with you next month, ready for all your questions, from energy medicine to traditional healing and beyond. Healing is flow, movement, and destination. But are you stuck? What is your true destiny line? Listen in, call in, and let the world know. Together, we'll choose what brings you into healing.